Ezekiel chapter 1, we'll read again verse 15 and verse 16. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the colour of a beryl, and they four had one likeness. Their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So the subject today is Ezekiel's wheels. Let's bow with the word of God open before us. Heavenly Father, again we call upon thy name. We pray that thy word will be of benefit to us, that thou wilt guide us in our meditation, and that thou wilt highlight those items and points that deserve and merit highlighting. We pray that thou wilt encourage our hearts through the word of God, and that thou wilt pour out thy great blessing upon us, as only our God can do. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Just before God sent his prophet Ezekiel out to reprove the rebellious children of Israel, he gave him a vision of wheels. You'll find if you compare it into chapter 2 and verse 4 that the heart of the people would have been hard, rebellious, ignorant of God, despising his ways. So he was on an uphill mission right from the beginning. But this vision in chapter 1 was given for his encouragement. You see, from the vision of the wheels, the prophet Ezekiel was given the confidence and the assurance that he needed to serve and speak for God in the middle of this crooked and perverse generation. But as you would read, for example, verse 15 down through to the verse 19 of Ezekiel chapter 1, and you read all of this complicated information about the wheels in the middle of the vision, you'll be left saying as you scratch your head, but what's the point? How could he possibly receive energy and the power that he needed and the enthusiasm and the assurance that going to meet this people with God's message he required? This vision of wheels showed Ezekiel the wonder of God's providence and assured him of the certain accomplishment of God's eternal, unchangeable, sovereign purpose. God, of course, has a purpose in this world of ours. The Bible teaches predestination. That is the sovereign, eternal arrangement of all of the affairs of the universe with everything geared in one direction, to secure the object of God's electing love. In other words, to secure the everlasting salvation of each one of his chosen sons and daughters, and this is God's plan or course in the world. We have indication of it in, for example, Romans 8 and verse 29. You can see the process building here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. In Ephesians 1, the verses 4 and 5, again we are taught, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So we don't stumble at this term predestination. It simply takes us back to the plan of God commenced in eternity and that now unfolds itself in front of our eyes in time. So when we're moving from one predestination to what is happening in time, we're thinking of providence. Providence is the glorious, though it is mysterious, it is the glorious working out of God's eternal plan in this universe in real time. It is God's sovereign rule of all of the world, where God is working for the salvation of His people and to the praise and the honor and the glory of His own great name. Oftentimes we quote, for example, Romans 8 and the verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who were the called according to His purpose. We might also consult Romans 11, the verse 36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Or in Ephesians 1:11 again, predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things according to the counsel of His own will. Let's take some where the rubber hits the road examples. A young man had been under conviction of sin many years ago, but he couldn't seem to find mercy or understand the grace of God. He was a telegraph clerk, and so that takes you back some time, of course. But while he was in the office one morning, this young man had to receive and transmit a telegram that came in. To his amazement, as he spelled out what had come in, he spelled out the words, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Some gentleman over in some other country on holiday was telegraphing a message that was an answer to a friend who was in trouble of soul. And so this message into this telegraph clerk's office that morning, it was meant for somebody else. But the young man who transmitted it received eternal life through it as these words came flashing into his soul. We had not so long ago the Consider Christ campaign ongoing in Northern Ireland. A lot of buses were bearing the message all around. Who can tell what would happen, but we know what will happen will be what God has planned and purposed through that campaign in eternity past. And as it unfolded in time, under the direction of God's hand of providence, well, I know of two persons at least who were stuck in traffic jams in behind a bus burning on the back of it the Consider Christ logo and the message, and they were struck by it, and in those two circumstances they came to Jesus Christ. Now, whether or not those two TransLink buses were running according to the timetable that day, whether or not they were on earthly time or not in terms of their passengers, in God's time for those two people, they were exactly bang on time. God, having predestinated souls unto salvation, arranges, organizes, orchestrates His providential dealings in the world to bring them through into grace. So providence is nothing other than God working out in time what He has purposed in eternity. Well, I suggest to you today that nothing is more comforting, nothing inspires such boldness, nothing gives peace like a good understanding of and a confident faith in the providence of God. And that's why Ezekiel received this vision off the wheels at the time that he did, when he was facing the difficult, awesome prospect of going out to a people who would not hear his message, who were locked into a path of rebellion. How would he do it? He would do it armed with the vision of God. Ezekiel's ways. Now, the first point we make today, and we're going to make quite a few, God willing. The first point is the most obvious. God's providence is compared to a wheel. In their ancient writings, both the Romans and the Greeks compared divine providence, would you believe it, to a wheel. Ezekiel didn't rely on any ancient writing for any of his teaching. He got his doctrine by direct revelation from God Himself. That made his word authoritative. God's providence resembles a wheel in at least three ways. First of all, that part of the wheel that is now on the top will soon be on the bottom, and the bottom will be on the top. It's the way the wheel works, of course. In other words, God brings about drastic, unexpected changes in the lives of men and women, in the affairs of nations, in the nature of the world as it pleases Him. Poverty and sickness. Sickness and health. Fame and ill repute. Peace and war. The revolutions that we know in the world around us. Life or history goes round in cycles is a common phrase, and it's true. Part of the wheel in your life that maybe is at the top today could well have worked round to the bottom within a short time, but will turn again. Another fact here about God's providence being compared to a wheel: there is one part of the wheel that is always the same, never moves, in terms of its horizontal position, that is the axle. We undergo many changes. Our lives are checkered with change, but the axle upon which the whole machinery of providence turns is always the same. And this axle is God's everlasting covenant of love and grace. Didn't the hymn writer say, "Change and decay and all around I seem, O thou who changest not, abide with me." God never changes, Malachi 3 and 6. God's purpose never changes, no matter what anybody else does, Job 23 and 13. "But he is of one mind, who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth." God's love never changes, John 13 and 1. His grace never changes, Romans 11, 29. His faithfulness never changes, underlined by 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." And so we can come and we can sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Then another point of comparison between the wheel and the providence of God: when a wheel moves really fast, the only thing you see is the outer rim, the exterior circle. Instead of looking at the parts of things and examining the spokes, as many people do, and asking all kinds of ridiculous questions, we need to look at the whole course of events in history, events in our lives, events in the affairs of God's church and on the earth, and so on. And when we look at things as a whole, we see one round circle of symmetry teaching us God is wise, God is just, and God is always good. Most people, that's why we're made, we like to start examining all the intricate detail on the spokes and asking, why is this in this position and that happening over there? Let us prefer to look at the wheel, said Coffee to Henry. "I've had a rough day, but I've had a great life." And that puts things in human perspective. So what we're saying is simply this: in terms of the providence of God, His providence, I believe in Ezekiel 1, is compared to a wheel. But then secondly, in some mysterious way, God's providence is intimately connected with the heavenly angels. Ezekiel 1:15. "Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four theses." These living creatures are introduced into the vision here from the earliest part of it, and they're regarded by almost all of the old writers as a reference to the heavenly angels. Quite rightly so, because as you read on in Ezekiel, come to chapter 10, verse 5 and verse 20, you'll find them described as the cherubim, angelic beings. And there's an obvious, intimate connection between the living creatures and the wheels that Ezekiel saw. Verse 19, for example, "And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. I'm certain the angels of God have much more to do with the affairs of our lives than we realize. It was an angel of the Lord that back in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35-36, put Sennacherib to flight and saved Israel from destruction. It was the angels of God who came into and ministered to the man Christ Jesus by whispering in his ear. Matthew 4, the verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Then at the cross, Luke 22, the verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, helping him there, holding him up in the Garden of Gethsemane as the cross loomed large before him. God's saints have their angels. You watch over and keep them. Our Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 18 and 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In the book of Hebrews, we are taught in chapter 1, verse 14, those angels of God are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who shall be the heirs of eternal salvation. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, going out, accomplishing God's plan, seeing His providential dealings in the world? There's an intimate connection between God's angels and His providence. The two work together. John 5 and 4, we find there when at the pool of Bethesda, it was an angel who moved the water. Then God's work was done. A third point today, out of Ezekiel 1, God's providence is universal. Look at verse 15 again. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Providence represented by one wheel upon the earth, but the one wheel has four faces. A face for every quarter of the globe. North, south, east, and west. Brother and sister in Christ today, can you grasp it? God's eye is fixed upon you. His providence encircles you. His hand is holding you. His presence is with you completely at all times, in all circumstances. He watches over you with the fullness of omnipotence and His omniscient wisdom. And He does it as personally and as completely as though nobody else existed in the whole of the universe. His eye is on you. His providence is looking after you. His name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He's there in the labor room at birth. He's there at the marriage vows. He's there on that bedside when you're travailing in pain. He's there at the graveside. He's there everywhere in between. His providence, universal. You'll also note here that God's providence is uniform. In Ezekiel 1, verse 16, we find the words, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work were, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. They four had one likeness, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. In other words, their work was not separate or divided. It was uniform. It was all one work. In their appearance they were the same. In their activity they were also the same. It simply means that the providence of God is one great piece of machinery. Sometimes providential experiences, don't they seem to crisscross, and we're wondering what's happening here, and that's the opposite of that, and why is this happening to me at this moment in time? And they seem to be contradicting each other, but they never do. We thought last Lord's Day morning of Joseph. Oh, his life was full of crisscross purposes, as it appeared on the surface. Despised by his brothers, though loved by his father. Sold as a slave into Egypt, though Potiphar saw his value initially. Betrayed, lied upon by Potiphar's wife, forgotten by those that he shared the prison with, in principle, the butler. And yet, as he looks through all of this crisscross, tangled web, towards the end of his experience in Genesis 50 and 20, he says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." The providence of God all the way through had actually been uniform. He was working everything out. I think of Paul and Publius in Acts 27 and Acts 28 as well. He shipwrecked this missionary, and then having got safely onto the island of Miletum, he's bitten by a viper. Things aren't pretty, though. Through meeting with this man on this island, Publius, Paul is strengthened for his journey. He sees a work done for his master. An old Church of England bishop, Handley Mole, was brought to a colliery disaster on one occasion. When it happened and men's lives were lost and the weeping widows were there and the bereaved children were standing in tears, he's thinking, what do I say? What message can I bring them? And as he approached them, a bookmark that was in his Bible fell out, and he picked it up, and it was the back of the bookmark. It was an embroidered one, and it was all tangled threads. He turned it around, and that bookmark actually said, "God is love." And that message he brought to them, in the midst of all of the tangled threads of your life, when you look from your perspective, and it's not adding up, and it's not working out, and it's not going the way that you felt the plan should run, God has it still all under control. And through it all, his love permeates. Only God sees the whole picture. Now, it is simply ours to trust him and not ask why. His providence is uniform. You'll find as well here, divine providence is compared to the sea. You pick that truth up from a little phrase in Ezekiel 1:16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they fought at one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. God's providence is like the sea. Where do we get that? Beryl is a gemstone that's sea green in color. Dr. Gill tells us this word beryl is sometimes used for the sea. There's an intriguing text over in Psalm 77 and the verse 19 which says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Didn't William Cowper touch base with that particular text and then wrote, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. Who can see them there? Who knows what God is doing? Who can trace his track as he plants the footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm?" No doubt providence can be compared to an ocean for its vastness. That ocean floats afleet just as easy as it floats a feather. for its motion. The sea is never still for its unmanageability. Who can train it? No man can manage the ocean. Why, man in his greed many times has carved up the earth and fenced off a portion for himself and staked out landmarks upon it and said indignantly, "This is mine." But there are none of those kind of landmarks in the sea. No fences, no chains. The sea is impetuous. It follows the will of no man. And so it is with the providence of God. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the colour of a beryl. God's providence, like the mighty sea. Then again, the providence of God is intricate. It's intricate. Ezekiel said it had the appearance of a wheel in the middle of a wheel, verse 16. So the wheel is actually two in one. One ring inserted within the center of the other ring, touching each other, one at right angles to the other, allowing it to turn. I take this to mean that this great work of the providence of God is detailed and so thoroughly meshed in all of its details that all of the affairs of time within the universe are but one work. And God makes it all go forward in His time. Wheels within wheels. The work of providence, where God is pursuing the salvation of His own chosen people for the glory of His great name. Our salvation and God's glory, they're intertwined, really one and the same thing. Romans 8:28, Romans 11:36, Isaiah 63:12, and the verse 14 as well. It's like the blessings of Jacob upon all of his sons. And all those blessings of Jacob are intertwining and crisscrossing around that bed as he brings them in one by one, blessing them in similar ways. And so the blessings of God upon His children in the world, they are all crisscrossed and complementary blessings. It's intricate, this providence of God. We say, "Lord, bless me this way." And we have a plan, an idea in mind. And we're looking for that to happen. And we pray and we pray and we keep praying down this same line. And then God blesses us over here. And not there. God says, "I know how to bless. I know the blessing you really need." He pulls down to exalt. He wounds to heal. He kills to make alive. He breaks hearts, that they might in turn go out and bind up the brokenhearted. The providence of God is intricate. Then if you've been keeping a numerical count of these, number seven is the providence of God always moves in a straight path. In Ezekiel 1:17 we have it put like this: when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Not going to the right, nor going to the left. It simply means here, going down a straight line. The purpose, providence of God, it is not for changing. The theologians say God is immutable. It means He's unchangeable. Some people I know come in and criticize, and they talk about God changing His mind, God changing His purpose, God changing even in His mercy, in His love, in His grace, in His favor towards us. How could that happen? If God changed, He'd either have to change for the better or change for the worse. Either way, He ceases to be God. If He could change, nothing is safe. If God can change or be changed, He cannot be trusted. But it's always a straight path, because God knows what He's doing beginning to end, from eternity past to eternity in the future. And these wheels are rolling forwards in a straight line. Divine providence. Another fact is utterly amazing. In Ezekiel 1:18, we have the words, "As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them." For Ezekiel standing there in the vision, he sees this thing that is so high that it's dreadful and full of eyes, in charge of everything. God sovereignly works His will in everything that happens. My men and devils, in a sense, do exactly what they want to do. And yet, in the truest sense, they do exactly what God has from eternity purposed should be done. In Psalm 76, verse 10, we have this great divine limitation: "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain." God has the wicked in His hand. Spurgeon once said, "I believe that every particle of dust that dances in the sunbeam does not move an atom more or less than God wishes. That every particle of spray that dashes against the steamboat has its orbit as well as the sun in the heavens. That the chaff from the hand of the winnower is steered as surely as the stars in their courses." Like the creeping of that insect, an apid, over a rosebud is as much fixed as the march of the devastating pestilence. And the fall of the leaves from the poplar is as fully ordained as the tumbling of an avalanche. He who believes in God must believe this truth. Divine providence is utterly amazing. Then another fact is, and we have two further to go, and this is one: divine providence is full of wisdom. In Ezekiel 1, verse 18, we have emphasized here the point that these rings were full of eyes. "As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four." Right here is the difference between the stone-faced philosopher who believes in blind faith and a living child of God who adores his Father's good providence. The faithless will look at life, and when it's all capsizing around him, he'll say, "Whatever will be, will be." The Christian says, "Whatever God has ordained must be." There's as much difference between faith and providence as there is between a blind man and one who has two eyes perfectly seen. Faith is blind and without purpose. Providence is full of eyes, governed by the all-wise God to accomplish His purposes of grace in this world. And God does nothing without a wise purpose. So what is it for us today? Fatalism? It just falls where it's going to fall and we can't do anything about it? Or a Father's care? The warmth of the sunshine, the birds in the air, the flowers in the springtime with perfumes so rare, the songs in the meadow, the blue sky above, all tell of His mercy, His care and His love. The sign of the rainbow, the stars in the night, the snow-covered hillside, all shining and bright, the might of the forest, the mountains of stone, all tell me He loves me and cares for His own. I feel it in the air. I see it everywhere. The Lord is watching over me. His goodness and His love are sent from heaven above. The Lord is watching over me. Isn't that your experience? God is working out His providence in your life and mine. Our final point: all the work of providence, all the work of providence is God's work. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us all things all of God, everything that comes to pass, guided by His hand. I haven't the time to expound verses 20 through 28. But this is what those last verses of this chapter teach us. All the work of God's providence is God's work. Everything in the universe is directed and brought to pass, verse 20, by God's Spirit. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their Spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Everything directed by God's Spirit. All directed by God's decree, verse 24, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. His voice, directed by God's decree, directed by His throne, verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. But better than just focusing your eyes upon a throne to see an explanation of God's providence in the universe, there's someone on the throne. It's directed by God's Son. Read on in verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And that is Jesus Christ. John 17 and 2, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. Predestinated, working out the providence of God, showing His purposes in the world by God's Spirit, by His decree, from His throne, by God's Son, according to God's covenant. Note the appearance of the bow in verse 28. As the appearance of the bone that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And of course, God is working all things out by His providence for God's glory. And that's what we've just read in verse 28, the final part. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Just think of it. Put yourself into the shoes of Ezekiel. Going out on Mission Impossible. People that are rebellious don't want to know the message. How will he cope? Well, God knows our need. And that's why He gave him this vision of Himself, of His eternal work in the world, to meet the need of His prophet Ezekiel. And before such a great and glorious God, there is only one thing we can do, and that's to do what Ezekiel did at the end of verse 28. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And you know what that voice said to him? If you read down into Ezekiel 2 and verse 6, you'll find God says, "Be not afraid." And that's what He's saying to us today. You have difficult circumstances. Your problems that are crisscrossing in your life. You have issues you never dreamt in the world you would face. Things seem to be getting worse. But you need to fall in awe before God. And you'll hear His voice. Be not afraid. And you'll see this vision of God, that He is in complete control. That He really cares. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the vision that Ezekiel received at the very time when he needed it most. Lord, in thy dealings with us, we thank thee for the hand that guides us, for the love that surrounds us, for the grace that carries us forward, even through the most difficult situations. We know that, as was the case with Ezekiel here, whenever everything is closing in, the walls are caving forwards, thou dost come, speak to us, meet our need, telling us, be not afraid, I am in complete control. May we rest in that, submit to thy purposes, and with wonder see them someday from a tremendous perspective, and understand that Jesus led me all the way and tied in all of those stray threads. Come and answer prayer today and bring thanksgiving out of our hearts to the God of our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.